This meeting is officially called to order. The first order of business is the agenda. Has everyone had a chance to study the agenda? Is everyone? I'm looking around and I've seen press and three people, two who are new to me. So there are four of us, and that's not for an agenda, for a quorum. Go ahead. Is anyone else, is it out there, if I can ask, say it that way? Is anyone out there willing to identify themselves? Are we four people here?
Yep, Ms. Ship was supposed to be on, so just one second.
A fifth person. Anyone else?
Ms. Ship and Mr. Miley.
Yes.
Hey, Bob Miley's on from Town of Thunderbolt. I apologize for my 3-minute okay. delay.
Thank you. Don't apologize.
I am sorry about that.
That's all right. This is Daniel Brennan. I'm your chair. I just cleared the meeting to be open. I noticed that to me, there are two new people. I don't know if you're new, but I've not seen your faces before. I've been wearing a mask, you can see my face. Because seeing people, you know, just seeing their eyes, you know, what's above it, doesn't seem like seeing a person. That's not to me seeing a person, really. Would you please introduce yourselves as members?
Hello. My name is Arielle Johnson. I am the Public Information Officer and Communications Manager at Channel Marriott Transit.
Good evening. My name is Armand Turner. I work with Healthy Savannah.
Thank you. So you are not members, as you are technical support? Whatever.
Yes, I am. We are both official members.
Okay, you're official members.
Yes, sir. Armand is actually your vice chair. And then Ariel took over Eric Curl's position with Chatham Area Transit. So she's replacing Mr. Curl.
So that means we've got a quota.
We've got a quorum.
Yes,
quorum.
You do.
Yeah.
Tony,
yes.
As usual. Right. Okay, that being the case, let's get this meeting started. First order of business is approval of the agenda. Have everyone had a chance to study the agenda? I've seen it and it looks okay to me, but I'm not, it's just me. Anyone has any problem with the agenda?
Chairman?
Yes?
This is Bob Miley with Town of Thunderbolt. I make a motion to approve the agenda for today's meeting as set forth.
I'll second that motion. Tony Abbott.
So the move has been properly moved and seconded that we accept the agenda as printed. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposition? There be no opposition. The motion is carried. This agenda is accepted as is. The next action has to do with the approval of the April 25th, 2022 minutes. Has anyone since studied the minutes? You've seen, had a chance to read it, look at it?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir.
I know everybody wasn't here for the last meeting, but I reviewed the minutes. I'm sure everybody else has. I have no modifications. I make a motion that we accept the minutes as typed.
And this is Tony Abbott. I was at the meeting and I second the motion.
Okay, it's been properly moved and seconded that we accept the minutes as printed. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? The minutes carry. We accept the minutes as given because there's no opposition to it at all. Thank you. And the next item is under action item is the amendment of fiscal year 2023 UPSW.
Yeah, good afternoon. And Wankota Wong, Quorum PO staff, I will do the presentation. The Unified Planning Work Program amendments include two parts. One part is to include three special studies into the unfunded section of the UPWP. And those three studies, US 17, from US 17 corridor, probably from the Bryan Chatham County line all the way to I-516. And Chatham County will be the project sponsor and partly, probably to partner with Garden City and the City of Savannah for this study. The second one is President Street Railroad Crossing, a feasibility study that will be to study the feasibility, probably just get great separation at President Street over pretty close to the Truman Parkway. where you have the train stops the traffic for a long time. So we want to do a feasibility study to see what we can do over there. And the project sponsor is also Chatham County, but the city of Savannah is interested in partnering with the Chatham County. And then the third one, the State Route 21 at the CSX Railroad Crossing feasibility study is State Route 21. It's pretty close to the new school that is being built over there. So we probably will study the possibility for grade separation as well. So those would be the three studies we want to include in the unfunded section of the UPWP. And after the discussion today, actually TCC had the discussion, started discussion in April and finished the discussion today. So after two rounds of discussions, and we will make these three studies eligible to be included in UPWP. And the studies will be eligible for funding applications for either discretionary planning funds through the Georgia Funding Committee or through the Y230 call for projects that we are going to do in August. So if the studies get awarded the funds and they will be amended into, depending on which funding source, if it's the discretionary funds, it would be amended into the UPWP funded section. And if it's the Y230 funds, they will be amended into both UPWP and the Transportation Improvement Program. So those would be the three studies. And then the US 17 corridor study will rough estimate is about $350,000. And then the President Street crossing and the State Route 21 crossing are estimated to be about $300,000. And then the second part of the UPWP amendment is to include some transit studies into the transit section, transit planning tasks. And CAT will use Section 5303 funds to conduct these studies. So one of them is the zero emission implementation plan. And the total cost is about $94,000. And then another one is comprehensive operation analysis or transit development plan. The total cost is about $312,000. And then the third one is the Chatham Area Transit Master Transit Plan. And the total project cost is about $500,000. And then the last one is the ARP funded project. It's the ARP route restoration. And the total cost is about $550,000. So since the UPWP is the Quorum PO's work program or MPO's budget. So we're including this transit information just for reference only. So because we are not outlining the transit budget over here. So these are just included for reference only. So basically for this UPWP amendments, we're looking at the two parts, the three studies to be included into the unfunded section. So that will make them eligible for funding application. And the second part is to revise the transit planning tasks to add the Section 5307 funded studies.
Thank you. Any questions for her?
Are these being offered for information or for action?
For action.
Action.
Okay.
These are action
endorse
items.
Endorse it and to approve. So we have to vote on it.
Yeah, we will ask for the CEC endorsement of the proposed UPWP amendments.
All right. Well, not to forestall discussion, but I move that we approve the as presented.
Okay, so that's a motion?
That's a motion.
Is there a second to the motion? Is there a second?
A second.
Miley, no, second. Okay.
2 seconds. Okay, no problem with that. Okay, so the staff report recommends that we endorse and approve those amendments. We have a motion to do so. All in favor,
Mr. Chair, Mr. Chairman, can we have discussion?
Oh, yeah, we can have discussion.
I just real quick, this is Miley. I seconded it, just, and I know Armand did as well, just to get it on the table, but I think it would just behoove us that we endorse these subject to availability of budget. So my motion would, my discussion would be to modify the motion to say we accept all these and endorse them subject to budget availability.
Okay. For the 5307, the CAT plans, I'm pretty sure the budget is there, right?
It doesn't matter. As long as the budget's there for everything, it should all be a go. We're just saying that we're not forcing your hand if the money's not there.
Okay.
We understand.
That's my only recommendation, Mr. Chair.
All right. Well, Mr. Chairman, as the movement, I will accept that as an amendment to the motion.
Thank you. All in favor of the amended motion, say aye.
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 Anyone oppose? Okay, you have our endorsement and approval for this motion, for these amendments. Moving on to the next order of business.
Okay.
Item two.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, three, actually. Fiscal year 2024 TIP amendments.
Okay, the TIP amendments, because we are at the end of the fiscal year 2022, so we want to do housekeeping. So any project or project phases that are currently programmed in fiscal year 2022 that are not going to make it need to be moved out. So we did a very comprehensive check about the project development status, and then we found out several projects need to be moved out. The first one, the project Durain, because we amended a preliminary engineering phase into fiscal year 2022, for additional EJ analysis and EJ outreach. And the process will take about 18 months. So the right of way is currently programmed in fiscal year 2022, but until that additional EJ analysis is done, we really cannot move on with the right of way. So we are moving right of way from 2022 to 2024, just to move it back by 2 years until we get the finished EJ analysis. And the second
Wakota, will that involve right-of-way acquisition?
The right-of-way acquisition is currently programmed in fiscal 2022, but Federal Highway Administration told the City of Savannah they have to conduct additional environmental justice analysis because this project is going through, remember, the West Hempster connector, that area. It's an EJ area, it's an environmental justice area. So they need additional outreach and additional analysis to evaluate how this project will impact the EJ community.
Okay. Thank you.
So that will take about 18 months. So that pushes the right way, the property acquisition back. So that's what we're moving the right way from 2022 to 2024. The second project is the City of Savannah's Traffic Control Center project. Currently, we have the preliminary engineering right-of-way and construction phases program in fiscal 2022. The city is actually, I think the bid closed on June the 14th. I think, yeah, that was 2 days ago. So, but as the city is moving along, but there are some kind of obstacle from GDOT to authorize the funds. So we need a little bit more time to work that out. So we will just move the funds from the 2022 to 2023. So just to give GDOT probably a couple of more months to work things out to have the funds authorized. And the third project is the US 17, like Back River Bridge over there.
Over there, where?
Okay, yeah. So it's the US 80 bridges at the Bull River. That project currently, environmental takes longer. So the right-of-way phase currently programmed in 2022 is not going to make it. And the construction is also programming in fiscal 2022 is not going to make it. So the new schedule shows the right of way will be in 2024. And then with a cost estimate from probably $90,000 to $1.4 million. So we are moving the right of way phase from 2022 to 2024 with a cost estimate increase. And then for the utility and construction phases, currently they're in fiscal 2022. If the right way is not ready in 2024, the construction is not going to be ready in 2020. If right way is not ready in 2022, so the construction is not going to be ready in 2022. So utility and construction phases will be moved to 2025, basically out of the TIP, based on the new development schedule. And the fourth one is the US 17 bridge at Back River. That one, the right-of-way phase right-of-way funds cannot be authorized by June 30th of 2022. So we are moving it to fiscal year 2023. I mean, we say move by one fiscal year. It might be probably 1 month, 2 months, basically, because the state fiscal year starts on July the 1st. And then the fifth one is the I-95 at Airways Avenue interchange. Currently, we have the scoping phase locally funded in fiscal year 2022. Savannah Airport Commission has not done anything about that funding yet. And this, Chatham County is going to pursue Y230 funds for this project phase in August when we issue the call for projects. So we're moving this scoping phase to fiscal year 2023, the funding to be replaced if the project gets the Y230 funds. And transit projects, there are also several transit projects that cannot get funding application. CAT has already applied for the funds, but it's still in the review process at the FTA. So they are not going to have the funds obligated by June the 30th. So we need to move the funds to fiscal year 2023. So those include some programs in 5307 and 5307H and 5339C. And also CAT received some allocation funds from 5337 and 5339. And those funds will be added in fiscal year 2024. So basically, we're doing like housekeeping at this point, because this is end of the fiscal year. We have to wrap up the fiscal year. So that's a very short summary. But if you want to have like more information, the report actually includes the detailed information on how much money on which year. And the project pages are also included later.
But you're still seeking our endorsement and support.
Yes, right? Yes, we're asking
some action on this stuff.
Yes, we're asking for CAC endorsement of these proposed TIF amendments.
Any discussion on this? Anyone say anything about it on the committee? Anyone? Can we get a motion to get an endorsement that the staff is seeking? Anyone in favor of making that motion?
Miley, motion to endorse, as stated by the chairman.
Is there a second to that motion?
Armand Turner, second.
It's been properly moved and seconded that the staff received the support they need to go forward with this. All in favor would say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? I heard even one eye carried. You know, I showed the other eyes, but.
Okay. Miley, aye.
Okay, so the eyes are still coming in, okay. But there's anyone in opposition to this? You want to say anything about it? Okay, so there's no further discussion, and we have a motion that's been voted favorably upon. So you have, you know, support from this group.
Okay.
Now the next item.
Thank you.
Thank you, you're welcome. We've gone through all the action items. We're now down to status report, and it's done five headlines, bullets here. So would you, someone talk us through these
okay.
status reports?
Yeah, I will talk about this pretty quickly. The freight plan update kicked off in late April, and then we had several meetings with the consultant. Cambridge Systematics was selected as the consultant. They are in the process of reviewing the existing and ongoing studies and the plans, and also collecting data to do the study. We had an ad hoc committee meeting this morning. The consultant gave a presentation, so I actually attached the presentation over here. So you will see what is included in the presentation. So currently, for this meeting, we would like to get your input on the visions, goals, and objectives for the free to play update. So which already included, the drafts are included in this presentation. So if you're interested in looking at this, because so far we haven't got a specific recommendations or data results output yet, but we're gonna have a meeting probably in October, the ADFAC committee meeting, we will have more information done. So probably we'll like commodity flows, the routes they will take, probably some congestion, freight bottlenecks will be developed. But at this point, we're still in the early stages. So, and another thing is they're going to do a stakeholder survey and the virtual forums probably in July. I think the stakeholder survey probably will come up in July. So I think we probably will share with the committee if needed at that time. So this is just a status update, just to let you know what's included in the plan update, and then what information we are asking for input for.
Anyone have an input for her? they're asking for our help.
Yeah.
It's an ongoing process. We could be going, we have another chance later on to add a voice.
Yeah, if you want to review the presentation, you can just review that presentation and just send us your comments on the draft visions, goals, objectives, because those will still be, it will take longer because we are still developing 2050 plan. So eventually those will be aligned with the 2050 plan update visions and goals and objectives. So, but you're welcome to look at this presentation file and find more information about the study.
Are we going to see it today? You're welcome to look at it. Are we going to see it today?
No, I mean, if you want to send us the information next week, I mean, your comments, I mean,
no, I thought you had a present, you know, something visual to show us.
Yeah, the presentation is actually attached to the agenda.
Okay, okay.
So yeah, but I'm not going to give this presentation because the consultant gave this presentation to about 45 minutes. So,
okay, no, we don't need to. I don't think we have 45 minute presentation.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll pass on that.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. And the second one, I just want to mention this urban flooding model. This is a study that the MPO will pursue, and just want to let you know the MPC signed the contract. So we executed the contract with the UGA, University of Georgia, for this this Tuesday. So our next step is to do the notice to proceed, so kick off this planning study. So basically this dynamic flood model will help us to deal with the resiliency in the transportation system. So you will get more information. Right now, I just want to let you know that the contract is done, so we are going to start.
That's very timely, stormwater study in Western Chatham, because it's all fixing to get built out.
Yep. And next one is also a pretty quick one. We did a pre-application because we are going to conduct two calls for projects. One is for the Y230, that's the urban attributable STBG, urban attributable funds. And another part is for the transportation alternatives program. So we are going to start the call for projects in August. Right now, what happened is previously we have municipalities, for example, Polar, they submitted applications, and then those projects not included in our long range transportation plan, so they're not eligible. So this time we are trying to make sure that they meet the eligibility requirements. So if it's a planning study, like we just talked about those three UPWP amendments, three studies, so if they go through those two meeting cycle, they will be eligible for these funds. So basically, we did a pre-application workshop on June the 2nd, just to help people to understand eligibility requirements and also tell the potential applicants what is needed from them. For example, the local government will need to have like lab certification, locally administered projects. So they need to get lab certification. And then their project like needs to be cost at least $200,000. So we just went through all those eligibility requirements to make people understand what is required of them. So instead of them sending us the application and declined because they're not eligible. So that was a pretty good session. Several municipalities and including CAD all actually attended. So we think it was useful, but if you're interested in the information and the pre-application workshop, the presentation is attached to this staff report. And also in August, you will see the whole package because we still need to make some adjustments to the package, including the revenue projections and some other things. So you will see the whole package in August.
Are there upcoming workshops that we might pop in on and look at 10?
No, this workshop mostly would be for the potential applicants.
Oh, okay.
The applicants are mostly local municipalities or transit agencies or public agencies that have oversight of transportation improvements.
I see.
Yeah.
You expect a good turnout?
I think so. Yeah. How many did we have? Yeah. So yeah. Yeah, I think we have a very good turnout.
So the people you're trying to reach actually are getting the word and they're coming out and
Because meetings. Yeah, because we try to educate people so to avoid the huge obstacles. So we just tell them, yeah, please come and understand the process. And if you don't meet the eligibility requirements, and you're not going to have any chance of getting the funds. So they actually, yeah, a lot of people actually came.
They won't know they're ineligible until they come and see what's required of them, right?
Yeah, because I mean, for any kind of grant application, you got to meet the requirements. So we want to avoid the situation, just like Paula, you send in something that is not eligible. So we just want to outline the detailed eligibility requirements so everybody understands what is required.
I suspect that sort of frightens some people away, though.
No.
It doesn't?
No. No, because we were trying to answer the questions. So if they have questions, I would try to help them.
I don't mean to be intimidated. I'm just saying that to be told, these are the guidelines, these are the rules, this is how it has to proceed. And you still say, well, do I measure up? And some people say, well, we don't. And they walk away and don't come back.
I think most of the people who attended already have some project in mind.
Okay.
So yeah, either study or plan or project. So they already have something in mind. So
they're seeking support and they come to you seeing that whether you can get the support from your group.
Yeah, I mean they will get all of the MPO support. I mean we will help to make their projects eligible. Like why we are delaying this call for project process. I mean we can do it earlier, but if we do it earlier, a lot of those studies wouldn't be eligible. So that's why we are going through these meeting cycles to make those eligible before their application, funding application starts.
Understood.
Okay. The next one, administrative modifications, I will ask Sally to talk about it. Just want to let you know, and this is like a closeout contract. So GDOT requires us to do this for closeout fiscal 2022 contract.
Okay. So like Wycota said, this is just a closeout for our year in our funding. We did administrative modifications to our fiscal year 2022 UPWP. When we do that, we're looking, you know, for our budget reimbursements and things like that. In looking at our third quarter, let me get back up here, I scrolled too far. In looking at our third quarter, we had realized that in the administrative section of there, we were at 97% in the administrative area of where we charge. FHWA has us to where they would like us, you know, to do most of our charging of our time in our administration section. And due to last quarter, you know, Mark retired, so that was a little bit higher salary and things like that with the turnaround, all of the charging went into that one area. We did not ask for more money. We did not lose money. What we did was took and shifted money. So if you look on the table that I've got down here at the bottom, our totals are exactly the same. So what we did was we took from public involvement due to the last few quarters with having so many virtual meetings, we had less time that we had to send, you know, for public meetings, so that it was less billable hours to there. So we were able to take and shift some of that funding, shift some of the data collection analysis and the system planning and operations, same thing. So we don't expect those costs to affect any of the projects that we have coming. Our year end comes June 30th. So we're good. So we've taken, like I show you on the table here, and just shifted this funding here. Bottom totals are the same. This was done at an administrative level. Also on here attached is the concurrence letter where GDOT has given us their approval and concurs with this. So, but we want to let, you know, make all of our committees aware of what we're doing. Does anybody have any questions with that?
Yes, sir.
Is Mark, you know, I'm not trying to be nosy, but is Mark's position, is somebody going to replace his, you know?
Wycota.
I was just wondering.
Yes, and she's been fabulous.
Congratulations.
Yep. We're very excited. Yes.
Excuse me. You replaced Mark, you say? Okay, that means a promotion. That means it's still a vacant position where you were. So we're still short of staff, aren't we?
Yeah, currently we are still short-staffed. So last meeting, you're looking at like a one person MPO, but right now I have 2.5 people. So myself included, and Sally, we only get like half of her time working for the MPO because she's still working for the MPC. And then Asia has been assigned to the transportation department, and we are probably going to have another planner coming in July. So.
Watch out.
Yeah, we have a lot of things to do, but a very short staff, but we're still trying our best, you know.
Let me say this, it's not always comfortable to say something like this, but when you're short of staff, you ask yourself, where do we get the people? And you have to ask yourself, what do we have to pay them? So I'm curious, do you feel that we here have the kinds of money or willing to pay the kind of money that's going to actually draw people to us?
We did some.
Cheap or poor as it goes. So we therefore we're likely to fill these positions anytime soon because we are going to come to.
I think our salary range is comparable to other areas.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. The thing is, our rent over here is so high. The cost of living is so high. So we actually did have a candidate. We interviewed people. And then they found out at the last minute, and then they chickened out because they found out that they cannot afford the rent over here. So that seems like for a tiny city as Savannah, our cost of living is relatively high. Yeah, yeah.
Nothing can be done about that, I don't think. Unless you want to.
I'm sorry. All the participating jurisdictions paying their bills.
I think so far, yes, because the MPO dues, yes, every jurisdiction has paid their dues.
Good.
Yeah.
Okay, any other questions?
Questions? No more questions, go ahead.
Shut up.
Okay, so the next item on here is 8, it's City of Pooler, the SR 26 from Chatham County line to the SR 21s. Leon was here earlier in our meeting. I'll just go over this real quick with him. There's an RFP out and they held, they had 4 bids that came in and they are currently working with a contract, working on negotiating scope and fee with the highest ranked consultant, which is Kimley Horn. A PFA between GIOT and Pooler is circulating currently, and a letter was drafted by Pooler for a notice of award to this highest ranked consultant, and scoping meeting will be set up soon. They're hoping to present it to the Pooler City Council at the June 21st meeting to get that going.
What exactly is that? That's on 21 at the Effingham Chatham.
It currently, in the past, you've seen it come up on our agenda as US 80, okay. And GDOT just changed the name of it. So, yeah. but it's still the US 80 corridor study.
Okay.
It sounds fancier this way. Any other questions?
Questions for her? Any questions? Excuse me, no questions. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
That ends the status reports. That brings down to agency reports, which is. Any agency reports?
I think we are down to agency. Okay, agency reports are included under notices. So if you have any questions on any specific project, we can probably find the answers. Try to contact those. So you will see the CAT project status report, City of Savannah project status report, Chatham County, and GDOT. Since CAT is here, so you might. Do you want to give a status report on the CAT?
Yeah, we'll listen to it. Please welcome. Let us hear from CAT.
Hi, Ashley Goodrich from Chatham Area Transit.
Hello.
To give a status update for CAT's projects, we currently are under design by our naval architect for the 2 new hybrid ferry vessels that will be going with the Savannah Belles on the river. We have 33 paratransit vehicles under order that have been in a supply chain chassis issue. So those are still ongoing. Our diesel bus replacement, we have 3 new buses on order. We placed that order in December of 2021, and we expect completion of that in June of next year. The ITS Clever Devices project is in phase 6 of 9. Soft completion date is going to be a little bit later this summer in 2022. The ferry boat maintenance facility and ferry dock, we have continued coordination from the city of Savannah. We are still working on the appraisal for part of the FTA concurrence. We have an interior renovation project going on at Cat Central. Phase 1 of that project has already been implemented with some interior office space renovation, as well as cleanup and renovation of our wellness center. That will be continuing and ongoing for office configuration through the fall of 2022. And then finally, we have also ordered 1 electric bus and a bus replacement. The electric bus was placed in April of 2022, and we expect it'll be 12 to 18 months before its arrival. I can answer any questions about CATS projects if you wish. Question.
Have you ordered a bus? What is being built now, so it's taking so long to come?
Yes, sir. So we order our buses from Gillick out of Hayward, California. It's outside of San Francisco.
So they're custom made for you?
Yes, sir. Each for a public transit bus, there's maybe 3 or 4 bus companies that meet Buy America requirements as part of federal funding. So every transit system in the country is ordering from just a few suppliers. So there's the timeline that it takes for it to go through the assembly line to be built. Each bus is custom per transit agency. And then also any timeline reasonably from the manufacturer in order to get it from the West Coast to the East Coast.
Thank you. Any questions for Harper Cat?
Once the new buses come in, you'll retire the old ones, or will that just increase your fleet?
Right now, we are looking at replacing our fleet. We calculate a state of good repair for every vehicle. The FTA average is sitting right now at about 12 years. Sometimes it can take CAT routinely closer to 15 years to get some of its fleet replaced. So for the moment, we're trying to replace our oldest vehicles with newer vehicles.
As a person who uses CAT, I can't help but notice that the personnel issue, that it's a personal issue there, or that this, you're not happy. Not everyone's a happy soldier or a camper, okay? But again, I'm not here to express a pleader, but I'm thinking that, is CAT aware of that?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for pointing out our driver shortage.
Not just the job of shortages. Why is there a shortage?
Yes, sir. So I do not mind saying for this committee that we are shorthanded at least 35 to 40 bus drivers. This includes both our fixed route system for our routes, such as the 14 Abercorn, the Senior Circulator, the Route 3 West Chatham, and then also for our complimentary paratransit services, which is next day ADA services. We are undergoing a hiring campaign. We have several different referrals and retention bonuses that CAT is implemented throughout 2022. And if you know anybody that wants to work at CAT, we would be glad to have them. So send them our way.
Oh, good comeback. I have nothing more to say.
We are doing our best, sir, and thank you for letting us know.
Any questions for her? Go ahead.
I'd want to ask for those like transit, the master plan development and the TDP. So when will that start? Have you selected the consultants?
We have selected a consultant for the TDP. We are waiting on a few more weeks of the grant award with the FTA. The master transit plan, the RFP, has closed just in the last week or so and is currently under evaluation and review by staff. We have a consensus group of stakeholders, the county, the city, the airport commission, as well as CETA, who have all supported the local match for the master transit plan. And each of those stakeholders will be evaluating the proposed consultants for that plan. So I would say maybe perhaps another 30 to 45 days.
Thank you for your presentation. Item number five, other business. You want to say something about that?
The reason that we include these items under other business is because we're trying to have some discussion, but I will just talk about it. For the 2050 MTP update, we are going to really officially kick off the 2050 MTP update this summer. And we are going to adopt this plan 2 years later in August 2024. So currently, we are developing a survey to help us to refine the goals, objectives, performance measures, and prioritization for future projects. So I have asked Sally to send you the survey, I think, ahead of the meeting. I will just go over this very quickly. So these surveys will include probably ask the people the question. I mean, you can probably choose whichever is the most important to you. So overall transportation priorities. So you are going to pick or rank roads, electric vehicles, bicycles, pedestrians, greenways, transit, on demand. And then roadway priorities, you're going to select new construction, for example, like Brampton Road, that's new construction. Roadway expansion, for example, I-16 widening, and operational improvements, probably intersection improvements, interchange and bridge reconstruction or replacement, and road maintenance or complete streets and electric vehicles. And then for the freight, so also that will be roadway improvements and rail grade crossing, probably grid separation, bridge replacements, better truck, for example, truck parking, and bicycle priorities, so bike lanes, cycle tracks, greenways, road diets, for example, pedestrians, sidewalks, or making connection to the existing sidewalks or crosswalks, and signals, maybe push buttons, for example, and the pedestrian overpasses, and transit priorities, maybe the improve the transit service, add routes or expand service area, improve the service frequency, connecting counties. I mean, these are the questions that we want to ask people. So we want to start the survey in August. So we are asking all the committee members to provide us input. So I have already, Sally has already sent you the survey into your email. So please take a look at this. And then if you see any of these needs improvements, just comment on it and then send us back the comment. And we would like to receive your comment by the end of next week. So we will refine this and then we will send you after we receive all the comments from ADVAC, TCC, CEC, MPO board, and the ACAT, because ACAT will focus on accessibility. And then we will send back to you, say, okay, this is the version that we incorporated all the comments and would this look for okay for you. And if you see it's okay, and then we will just go ahead and translate it into Spanish, Chinese, and Vietnamese, and then we start the survey. So just want to let you know that we send the survey to you and just make sure you read it and send us the comments back by the end of next week. Thank you.
We have English, Spanish, and Chinese on our
Chinese survey. And Vietnamese. The Hispanic population, because we have this federal requirement, we are receiving federal dollars. The MPO, MPC is receiving federal dollars. According to the federal regulations, our area, we are to meet the thresholds for three linguistic groups. So those people, 5% of the people in our area like speak Spanish at home, and they don't understand English or don't speak English or don't understand English. So it's called limited English proficiency. So our Spanish population is more than 5%. So they reach the threshold. The Chinese population.
See the Spanish, but why the Chinese?
Because we have about 1,000. It's like either or. Either you meet the threshold is like 5%, or in number. It's like 1,000.
So expert, but we may want to rethink that since we got Hyundai. We may want to switch it to Korean.
Well, it's not that. See, I wouldn't be considered LEP because I can understand English. It's the people who only speak Chinese and they don't understand English or they don't speak English well. So those are defined as LEP. But see, I am not. I'm Chinese, right? Yeah. So you might have a lot of Koreans, but they might be very proficient because they're engineers or something. They might be very proficient in speaking or expressing themselves in English.
Do you think they're going to move an advanced team in for the plant?
See, I think because Asia is keeping track of the ACS data. So I think ACS is updated every year, every 5 years, every 3 years. So we have to use we probably have to update our LEP plan every 3 years. So by the next time that ACS comes up, if it shows that the Koreans, the LEP person who speak Korean is reaching 1,000 or more than 5%, we have to translate every document, vital documents, into Korean as well.
All right, well, let me know about that next time you do it.
Yeah, we update our plans every 3 years, so we will know. Right now, as of now, actually, a Vietnamese speaking LEP person, I think it's like 900. Last time I checked, it was 958, I think. Yeah, so it's not reaching the threshold yet. It's about 958, but the GDOT, the consultant was saying, oh yeah, it's almost 1,000, so you need to do it. So now we have to translate the documents into three different languages. So please check your email and you will receive this survey and just look at the questions. And then just to give us suggestions and the comments, and we would really appreciate it. And thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Item six, other public comments. Do we have anyone here who wants to?
We have another one, I think. The non-motorized transportation plan. Asia is going to ask for volunteers.
Go ahead.
All right, let me just open the attachment. So the Core MPO is updating its non-motorized transportation plan and its thoroughfare plan. And so those plans address important topics for pedestrians, bicyclists, people with accessibility needs, and infrastructure improvements that are needed in the area. And so one of the main goals of the non-motorized transportation plan is to compile a list of pedestrian, bike, and trail projects that we prioritize as really needed in the area that can then be incorporated into the Metropolitan Transportation Plan. And then hopefully those will be programmed for funds and then those projects can be completed. So some of what we want to do with the non-motorized transportation plan is define why it's important, create an overall vision for non-motorized transportation within the area, so one that's less car dependent and more open to walking and cycling. We also really want to increase public input and public participation, and then also describe how that public participation is actually used to improve the plan. We want to discuss topics such as safety, equity, and resilience. And this piece is especially important because pedestrian deaths have been increasing in the area, and some areas are more disproportionately impacted than others. We wanted to identify areas, those disproportionately impacted areas, and see why they might be experiencing more pedestrian deaths and injuries than other places. And then we also just want to update the status of current projects, such as Tie to Town. So what we're asking from the CAC is to possibly get more people on the steering committee, and then also get your input and your expertise during this update. Any questions?
Any questions? The steering committee you're talking about, how often does it meet, or when does it meet?
I'm sorry?
The steering committee you mentioned, the frequency of its meetings and when, where?
So we don't currently have a meeting schedule. We're in the process.
You're not really meeting at all. So you, this is something you're projecting you're going to have, steering committee?
Yes. Yeah,
it doesn't exist though.
We actually do. We met on Monday, and Armand is actually on the steering committee.
So you're on the steering committee in the formative phase.
Yeah, it's small right now.
Okay.
Yeah. So we're hoping to get this plan completed and approved in June 2023. So we're still at the beginning of the process where we're trying to get people on the steering committee.
Take my name down. I'll be interested in hearing more about your group.
Awesome. Anyone else? We already got one. Or recommendations for other people that can join.
Thank you for your presentation.
Thank you.
As I was saying earlier, number six, other public comments. Anyone here? Do we need to adjourn this meeting and then go into public session, or there's nothing to really discuss?
Yeah, I think we covered everything so far. Yeah, I just want to let you know that Sally and Asia are catching up very quickly. So they almost have to, because we're so short staffed. So they're catching up very, very quickly. So Asia is like, she can take the lead on this non-motorized transportation plan. Is actually proof that she's catching up very quickly. And Sally is handling all of these status reports. So just want to acknowledge that.
So you're showing your leadership by praising workers you work with.
Yes.
That's good.
Yes.
He said strokes help. So there's no comments for public comments to deal with, to hear. Moving on to public notices, we said that we've heard from Kat, and we, you want to comment on that, or this is all touched on?
All these reports attached. So if you have any specific questions on specific projects, we will try and find the answers for you. So.
Okay.
Yeah, let us know. I think normally, Tony is the one who has questions on specific projects, right? Yeah.
So we're winding.
Let me know. Thank you.
Okay.
So we're actually winding down. The meeting's almost all but over. So that being the case, let me note that our next meeting will be August 18th at 5:30. Anyone have anything you want to say before we close this meeting? But I'm not rushing to close it now, but I'm saying it seems that we've done all the work we came to do.
Okay.
Anyone want to say anything? Meeting is adjourned.
Okay, thank you.